All right, so for people who have been living under an indie game rock for the last couple of months, maybe even like a year, can you just tell them what this game is and why it's so special?
Sure. Mushroom 11 is a puzzle platformer where your only interaction is destruction. Makes you think of platformers in a completely different way because you don't have any direct control over your character. You sort of have to sculpt and prune and split it, and it grows on its own by itself, but it will not grow unless you delete parts of it in order to regrow. You always have the same number of cells, so it doesn't get like bigger or smaller over time. It always stays the same, but you have to manage it in ways to solve puzzles.
So what have the last couple of months of development been like since the last time that we spoke?
So we've been working mostly on new content, and what we usually show in expos and to our friends in different shows is the first few levels, and those have more or less stayed the same with additional polish. That's also something that we're adding, but the new levels are longer and more complicated, and most people haven't really seen it, we're really happy with how they come along because they
introduce new things you don't see in the beginning.
Right. It's because you know what, for me as a designer, this working on a game mechanic that's so it hasn't really been done that way before, so mm-hmm. It allows me to expand in ways that I actually come up with more ideas. We all come up with like new ideas of what to do with this mechanics.
It's
every
very
day.
Versatile.
Yeah, and for example, with something we introduced in the video is something as simple as a rocket. Things that you've seen in different platformers before. It works in a completely different way when you can shift your balance and you can shape and prune it. Things like that. It's so much fun. Just like even going into the level editor and experimenting with new things, just so much fun.
Yeah, because it's so different. Like even basic platform, tropes. I guess it's done in a different way. So for example, we have rockets in the later levels, and you trigger a rocket by going on top of it. But then in order to steer it, you have to shift your weight. So the center of mass will affect the rocket and therefore will turn it. And that's the only way you can steer it. And it's just a completely different way than trying to actually drive a rocket in normal games where you just use the left arrow keys or something. So it's really fun.
Having played the game, I can absolutely agree with you and say that, there are games that try and do similar things, but they, like Loco Roco and, the recent Attack of the Blobs game on the Vita, but this game is just so different from those. The one thing that this game is a little bit different is its setting. It's kind of post-apocalyptic. Last time we spoke, I don't know if there was too much of a story. It was more focused on the gameplay, the platforming. Have you guys made any changes to that area?
So the one thing that we decided to do, and I'm really happy that this is what you're getting. We don't want the story to be in the front line. There is a very, very elaborate story that we all wrote for the game, and the way we present it is by putting clues, but not even clues that are just laced in hard to reach places. It's all around you. Everything you see behind you, from graffitis to posters to statues, forgotten pictures on the floor, everything tells a story. And the story is very elaborate and coherent, and there's almost no way you could notice. And that's what we wanted to happen.
We don't want us as designers telling you what the story is. We want you as players to piece together your own story. And I think that even just having a space where you're in a post-apocalyptic world and there are no humans anymore, I think that is the key point of what we want to try to get across. Mm-hmm. And whatever comes out of that, whatever you pick up that is in addition to whatever story we wrote is fine. But we feel like players would probably even make better stories than we could possibly give, and we would love to see what players come up with, what they think happened in this world.
Right, and in fact, it's since obviously the story is, things that happened chronologically are presented in a completely random way. You know, you go into some scene, you would see some artifacts from a certain era, and right after that, you would see something from a different era, but just placed randomly on in the same area. So we're not helping you with that. I mean, in fact, it's not. We don't even see it as a challenge. You know, try to figure out what we were thinking. No, it's not that at all. We're like, yeah, you know, there's a lot of things that happened there, and the result is pretty grim. And let's see what you can come up with.
I've spoken to tons of indie game developers during my career, and sometimes they feel like once a game is finished, they just have that big exhale, like, oh, thank God, never again. It's done. It's finished. But I mean, this from what you guys are saying, and you know, it just sounds like this has been a labor of love the entire time. So, if you guys had to just describe this whole process, how would you guys describe it?
Oh wow, this is for sure. Let's just say I'm pretty amazed to see that we've just marked our third year of development, and this is by far my biggest gaming project, and probably my biggest single project. It doesn't feel that way at all. It's been fun all along. You know, if from more creative ideas that revolve around gameplay or story to technological aspects that are very challenging in this game, because this game is technically much harder than anything I've done before. It's been fun all along, and you know, we've basically placed all the challenges that are going to be in the game. It's basically laid out already, right? And mm-hmm. I have me and Julia and Simon, we have our sketchbooks, brimming with material that's not going to get in the game. So it's a great problem to have. So I think it's a good good way to look at it. You know, it's the game is practically done, but the ideas are just coming more and more of them are coming in our way. You know.
Yeah, and it's great that when we show it, players also like one of their first instincts is like, can we have an editor? Which is great, but like, of course, we can't really do that, or it would take us a long time because it's just so technically complicated. But it's just great to see like players coming up to us and being like, "This puzzle would be cool," or "If you could do this, that would be cool." And it's just like, yeah, this mechanic is like, again, so versatile. It just leads to all sorts of ideas.
And some of these ideas actually get in the game. Yeah. no, I mean it's we are blessed with friends that we show the game to friends, and some of them actually are great designers, and they come up with ideas. I'm like, oh, actually that worked. That worked really well. We put it in. And we're very happy to have such an amazing circle of friends to help us and be part of this.
You guys walked right into the next question. Do you guys have a release date set in stone yet?
It's not set in stone, but we are targeting the end of June. We're really trying to aim for hitting around there. I don't know. I mean, whether it would be like the first week of July or, you know, the, you know, second week out from June, I don't know. But we would love to try to get the game out at the end of June.
Yeah. Well, with that said, you know, things are always very flexible in dev world.
You're in indie anyway.
Yeah, true.
You know, AAA missed their targets as well. God knows we missed our targets a couple of times. But the game, it's all shaping up towards that time. And also, you know, we are talking to other platforms. So, you know, things could change a little bit if the size of the project changed dramatically. That might change a little bit, but our plan currently is to go for a desktop release around that time.